spaceships don't come equipped with rear view mirrors. They dip as quick as they can. The atmosphere is now ripped. I'm so like a pip. I'm glad it's night. So the light from the sun would not burn me on my bum. When
hello, the internet, and welcome to another episode of the Cracked Podcast. My name is Jack O'Brien. I'm the editor-in-chief of Cracked, and today's episode is going to take place in and around the Star Wars universe. We're going to be talking about our hopes and dreams and wishes for the future of the franchise now that Disney has announced to make a new movie every year forever. I think the news that we're going to just get a bunch more Star Wars movies filled a lot of people on the internet with dread because we've all been burned by the prequels. But I think that's one thing that the three Cracked writers I talked to in this episode, we all have that in common. We're genuinely hopeful and excited by the possibilities of this idea of having a bunch of new Star Wars movies to kind of explore all the different possibilities of that universe. You'll actually hear us mention Cody just wrote and helped produce and starred in a 3-episode miniseries that parodies the Star Wars universe and takes place at a Jedi school. If this is the future and it's no longer on the front page, you should be able to find it by just searching Jedi school on our site. But Dan touches on this idea I really like during the podcast, that you should be able to have multiple Star Wars movies out at once without feeling like our culture has come to an end. Theater people put on the same plays every year. There's a stat I just heard from Garrison Keillor, the Writer's Almanac podcast. The play Our Town by Thornton Wilder is performed on average once every night somewhere in the world. And they don't even change the words. The lazy theater people don't even change what happens in the play. Why shouldn't we be able to tell a new story that takes place in the Batman universe every summer, just with a different director? This is Dan's idea. He only briefly mentions it, so I figured I'd do it a little more justice. But yeah, I don't know. I like the idea that these franchise-sustaining universes and these famous, iconic characters are what we have instead of Greek myths, right? You know, they're limiting, but all art has limits. They're what directors who make blockbusters have instead of watercolors or oils or third type of paint that I don't know the name of. And they strike a chord inside of enough people that studios can afford to just keep wagering hundreds of millions of dollars on each one. And really, they're the only type of big budget movie because they're kind of a sure thing that's allowed to take chances or be even a little bit innovative. Two of the most influential innovations to ever happen in big mainstream American movies happened in sequels to big surefire hits. Godfather 2 invented the prequel, the idea of cutting back and forth between two times. So without that, we never could have had The Lake House. And then Dark Knight was allowed to invent the realistic, gritty blockbuster and the idea of a comic book movie that took itself seriously. But it was only allowed to do that because Batman Begins was a big surprise hit. Batman Begins wasn't a crazy expensive movie. Anyways, we're going to talk about what we hope the Star Wars franchise invents. Hope you enjoy it, and I will talk to you in a bit for footnotes.
You know we got your back like chiropractic. If that bitch do you dirty, we'll wipe her ass out as in detergent. Now hurry, hurry, go on to the altar. I know you ain't a pimp, but pimp, remember what I taught you. Keep your heart, 3 stacks. Keep your heart, hey, keep your heart, 3 stacks. Keep your heart. Man, these girls are smart, 3 stacks. These girls are smart. Play your part.
My bitch a choosy lover, never fuck without a rubber, never in the sheets like it on top of the cover.
All right, I am here with Cody Johnston, Dr. Mr. Cody Johnston.
Thank you very much.
Michael Swaim, DJ MC Michael Swaim, and
thank you, that I accept.
Daniel O'Brien.
I don't get a single thing.
You also make a proprietary noise that represents us, I thought. That's the one.
Human being, Daniel.
Monkey Dr. Gorilla. And we are going to be talking about the Star Wars franchise, Star Wars universe, movies we want to see take place in the Star Wars universe. I think everyone knows Episode 7. I think they've completed the script and are in production or pre-production or casting.
I saw it. It was all right. It was okay.
They pushed the release back a year, I think, because they're building a plan that's like, let's do a Star Wars every single year. They're aiming for something bigger, it sounds like, is the latest.
Yeah.
December
2. And they convened a group of uber nerds that they deemed worthy of deciding the canon. They, like, redecided what is canon and what is not.
Yeah, so what can we do? Oh, yeah, that's right. There's someone who's going around and, like, looking through the extended universe.
Jada Skywalker?
Saying,
no, no, that didn't happen.
That's stupid. Yeah. That's stupid. Yeah. That's their job.
Take an axe to the prequels. If you don't.
Yeah. Really? There's somebody whose job it is right now to determine what's canon and what's not?
Yeah, Disney just announced that. It's very sought after job for a Star Wars nerd, I should think.
Yeah. Probably the number one job.
I really wanted to go to someone completely unfamiliar with the universe.
Do we need Jedi?
There's six whole movies. How many books? Oh my god. All right, I'm gonna make this job a lot easier.
So the thing,
one movie.
So heading into the prequels, the thing that was exciting to me is that they could do anything. Yeah. This is this really cool universe where all we really know is that there's these kind of magical monk space swordsmen and this like evil government. And that's really all we needed to know. And they like got really bureaucratic with it. Like, these are the rules, and we need to know what the government is in this Star Wars universe. And a lot of the three prequels were really focused on like setting up the intergalactic policies. And you guys just got done about a month ago making a series that's loosely based in the Star Wars universe. Mm-hmm. It's a parody, legally speaking, of the Star Wars universe. And that series airs today, so go to our site and check it out on the front page of crack.com.
We're going to describe a bunch of cooler things we could have done.
Right. So the sort of genesis of this episode of the podcast is that while you guys were making that, you were sitting around on set in makeup. Awesome makeup. You guys look amazing in the series, but
check it out on crack.com.
Yeah.
For all you makeup fans out there.
Yeah. Michael's eyes, they just really set his eyes off. It's like a very subtle thing they do with eyeshadow. But you guys were just kind of talking about, oh, that would make an amazing Star Wars, and this would make an amazing Star Wars. So I wanted to kind of let you guys talk about some of those ideas and just some of the things that you're hoping Disney will be covering in this one new Star Wars per year run that we have ahead of us.
Just to clarify, yes, we were on set of the wonderful Star Wars thing and we started talking about Star Wars. That is not the only time we've done that. I think when I met Cody, it'd be like, you seem cool. What would you have done with the prequels?
It's a cool Daniel. Question. I mean, yeah, that's something we talk about probably too much until someone gives us the money to create them.
Yeah.
Until then, all we can do is sort of say stuff like, this isn't even a story so much, but I always wonder about even the toy opportunities or like the cool factor opportunities. Lightsaber, obviously. The idea of the lightsaber, I think, is one of the columns that supports the Star Wars franchise. That's one of the reasons we all think it's cool, is because George Lucas thought of lightsabers. And all they've ever really done with it is, what if there were two? And what if a robot was just swinging four of them around a lot? And I just feel like, as dumb as it sounds, there's got to be a way to have a lightsaber bow and arrow, have lightsaber nunchucks, have a lightsaber shield. Why can't you have a material that is like a SWAT shield that can actually block lightsaber blows, which is the one thing that nothing can do but a lightsaber? All kinds of things. Because, I don't know, you already have this device that can cut anything, but can arbitrarily stop at any length? Why can't it arbitrarily be any shape? Why couldn't you have a lightsaber mace or something?
It would be super cool if there was just a thing on your forearm that is otherwise just looks like a giant
tricorder that everyone has, so
and
it's
then
fine.
And then as soon as like, a laser thing comes, you lift your arm and just knows intuitively.
Block
laser
that laser, yeah.
I feel like that's got to be in comics and extended universe stuff, and that's probably the things they're going to cut and say, no, there are no lightsaber boots.
Sure, yeah. Because that's what you'd want, for sure. The lightsaber boots. The
classic weapon boot.
But beyond toys, the Star Wars movies that I would make, the Jedi are this mix of magicians, monks, knights, and bureaucrats. They've got this amazing power that not everyone possesses. And the first time we see them in the prequels, they're going around like...
UN style.
Yeah, UN style. They're like protecting diplomats and they're making sure that trade...
The first sentence of the opening crawl is like, there's a trade dispute... And
better call in the Jedi. And I
exciting stuff, George.
I
can't wait for this movie.
Desperate to know how we got from point A, someone discovers that they've got magic bugs in their blood that lets them talk to the Force, that lets them move things with their mind, wield lightsabers.
Who is
well.
The granddaddy
speed,
of Force?
Speed run and speed jump. How did we get from there to you're a holy order that we all respect?
It's right, like you gotta X-Men, find other ones.
X-Men first showed up and everyone was scared and mad and there was like power struggles and all this. There are good X-Men and there are bad X-Men and some of them are hiding and some of them are like, X-Men
right.
I want to see that with Jedi. I want to see these guys who just suddenly show up and is like, hey, I'm clearly a superior human being.
Yeah.
I'm going to use this to assist in trade negotiations because it seems like that could get kind of hairy.
And there's like an obvious question to me inherent in that. And what's interesting is either way you answer it is a cool movie, because the question to me immediately becomes, well, so time existed before there was the Force, before they realized they could do the Force. Was that before or after they were space a galactic, thermal, spacefaring, right, technological society? Because if it was before, that means there was Force and technology developing at the same time in the history of this fictional universe. That's weird. And if it was after, that means when the Force was invented or discovered, someone had to be like, no, stop technology. We should do magic instead. And there had to be people who were like, magic is dangerous. We already have space travel and lasers. Why don't we just chill out with the Force? Yeah. That would have been such an interesting decision.
It's probably where the lightsaber came from. They were like, well, let's do both. Let's use this magic with technology and make this laser sword.
You're right. It's very much like X-Men. When mutants appear, there must have been that societal conversation of, oh, there's magic people now, and not everyone gets to be magic? Is that fair? What are we going to do about that?
Right. Not everyone gets to be magic, but everyone has the magic. Because you all have the Force. We all have it. It binds the
galaxy
together.
Do we? I thought it was only midichlorian having
people. But we all have the Force, but not all of us have enough magic bugs in our blood to speak to the Force.
That would be the first thing I would just retcon out of existence, is the magic bugs in your blood. Sure. Like, it's so much more interesting to be like, there's this mysterious thing that we don't all understand, that, you know, you can be a little green guy from some far planet or a human-looking person. It's the one thing that binds all of us together as living, sentient beings, is the capacity to have this power. And
It was so infuriating in Phantom Menace with Ian McDiarmid explaining the whole midichlorian thing. And it's just like, well, you, Anakin, you just have the most.
Yeah.
That is a thing. The Force is no longer this mysterious thing that we all accept. We can quantify it exactly by looking at you.
Right, there's nothing special about him when you say it's just because there's a lot of your blood.
Yeah.
However, something I think is really interesting about Star Wars, and one of the reasons we can have this conversation, is that even the bad choices make for potential good stories. One of the ones we talked about on set that I really loved relies on not retconning that, which I agree, I would retcon it because the pros outweigh the cons. But if it does work that way, why wouldn't there be like a steroid industry or people who can use technology to infuse more midichlorians into them? And what happens to the guy who like does it so much that he goes insane? It's like Dark Phoenix style. We keep going back to X-Men plots, but the guy that injects himself with midichlorians like it's a power drug or Bane's thing or something, to the point where now you have an evil super force wielding.
Right. And how do you get that? Because it's magic bugs in your blood.
You have to murder Jedi's and take
blood.
It's a vampire.
Yeah.
You can do a vampire movie.
Nazi vampires.
Yeah.
There's like actual human stuff like that, right? Isn't there like adrenal gland that you like need to get it from a human adrenaline gland to like get this particular drug?
Hunter S. Thompson, I think, claimed to have done a human adrenal gland as a drug.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's never lied.
And how did he turn out?
Yeah. So
let's call him in. Hunter?
Just for the only casual Star Wars observers, the thing with the bugs in the blood happened in the prequels, right? Yeah. They explained that this is what the Force is. It's a specific bacteria or something that lives in the blood. But yeah, that is a good point, that there's a lot of things, there's evidence in the Star Wars universe we all see that certain things have been either outlawed or like they've been to this bad place where a guy abused the midichlorians in the blood. Or why do the Jedi only have sword-shaped lightsabers instead of the laser guns, which are clearly the superior weapon. I don't know. Yeah, I would like to see, to take it outside of X-Men, the Batman Begins of Jedi. You know, like, why that weapon? Why they take this vow of...
There must have been some
brown hoods
period of time where someone invented lightsabers and was like, this is the right weapon to go with Force using. This is the way the council should work. Yeah, the founding of the council and all that. I want to see the aviator of the Emperor.
Like him losing his mind?
Well, yeah, because I feel like this is something we touched on in the series, which is that the Emperor runs the galaxy, which is like crazier than being president. It's just like the craziest task you could imagine bureaucratically. And he must be insane
Right, that's a level sociopath that we don't have. Because
right, and in the movie, he's so much, you know, he's the devil, because he is. He was born evil, we assume, or whatever. And even in the early ones, we see him as younger, handsomer, but still evil for no reason guy. And I would love to see, how was he treated as a child, and what position was he in that he thought at some point in his life, oh my God, if I do this and this and this, I will rule the galaxy, and I should do that.
I'm curious, does he have any Cody future seeing abilities or any kind of loose, I can see what's going to happen? Because he otherwise is the most brilliant plan in the world, and the movie should just focus on him because he positioned himself on this council with Naboo as like a plain old senator, worked behind the scenes with the Asian fish monsters to necessitate him being made Grand Emperor of the Senate, supposed to be temporary, but he held on to it. Then, coincidentally, Darth Vader shows up at this exact same time, and XYZ happens, and he can recruit Darth Vader to his side, thereby gaining control over the entire galaxy. That is an insanely elaborate plan that relies on Queen Amidala deciding that he should be put in charge of the Senate. It relies on finding shady Asian fish monsters. It relies on the Gungans of Naboo playing their rebelling part in this war. Yeah. And relies on Anakin being found on a planet and taken out and going under
everyone on the Jedi Council not being able to tell that he's an evil guy.
Right.
And what if you assume that it wasn't? Even if you assume it wasn't a plan because it seems unlikely that the number of serendipitous things could happen, that means that he might have been a person who is just having these things, almost like Baltar in Galactica, where if you look at it from his point of view, things would happen and things would happen. How could he not be like, God has chosen me to be emperor. Right. It seems like I should be. Every opportunity is presenting itself.
Because if he was a senator that got along with people and everyone liked him, that also means that he was born with all of these powers that he's got, but was like, I should just keep this under wraps and not be evil. I'm going to be a senator.
Or, and like, I'll be a Jedi.
Because he didn't become a Jedi Knight. He chose not to, even though he obviously has great force potential. It's just
the thing about
one in his head.
I don't want to turn this into, let's just talk about how the prequels are bad. But there's so many missed opportunities for actual good movies. We're talking about how they infused all this bullshit bureaucracy into this Star Wars franchise. Yeah, the Trade Federation, all this stuff. No one cares about it. But if you do it well, we would care about it.
If it were like the West Wing.
Or like, yeah, like a Game of Thrones. Yeah. There are shady dealings and this is how the Senate works. And you turn it into a drama that's interesting to watch. Plus it's in the Star Wars universe. That's a good movie. You have vampirism. Do a vampire movie. In Star Wars. You have the X-Men story. Do that with Star Wars. It's such a rich universe. It's so easy to come up with a fun,
right,
interesting idea to do.
Do the Fugitive in Star Wars universe. Do the movie where
do the prison film.
Everyone doesn't like the Jedi, and the Jedi are now on the run, and it's like being outlawed, and Jedi need to crawl back into the good graces of the galaxy because they've been framed for some kind.
Yeah, do the Jedi have been around for thousands of years, and they've become corrupt, and they're actually kind of bad. They're making the galaxy a police state, or a police galaxy, or however you want to say it. And then the story is about someone fixing the Jedi.
Right. And I'd really love to see the godfather of Jabba the Hutt,
right,
like forming his criminal organization, which there have been comics that touch on. The point being that you can either do a story that spans the galaxy, or you can zoom in on a planet and have this world spawn any story. You could do a film noir about Boba Fett tracking a femme fatale's quarry across a system. You
do
know
not
what
want
mean?
To see that movie.
Fine.
Fine. Do not want.
But, so Discworld is a series of fantasy books, and what's so great about that series is within that series there are sub-series. If you like a film noir feel, you can read books 3, 9, and 18, and those are all about the police in this universe, and that's like a cop drama, but it just bounces all around the universe. And I don't see, like, again, you'll probably say, like, I wouldn't care to watch that. But why couldn't Spike Lee do something on one planet that's like Do the Right Thing, but will be compelling to nerds because it's about aliens?
Because
you
got magic and swords.
Because, like, it struck me watching the prequels again how there were so many obvious ties to, like, well, it's supposed to be World War II and you're kind of talking about race relations, but you're not ballsy enough or maybe not sophisticated enough to make the movie make a point about that.
Right.
But you could.
Right. It's
you could do something about the people of Kashyyyk facing difficulty and what that's like.
I would argue that it does make a point about it, and it's horrifying. The prequels and the race thing.
Well, the point is that European imperialism's fine.
Yeah.
Right?
And the Asian fish monsters are monsters and fish. And Jar Jar Binks is the African
to be manipulated and used as a pawn. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Until he joins the Senate.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, it's full of stuff like that. It's just a hodgepodge of things that could have gone somewhere, but he just wanted to make 50 different things. In episode 2, there's a mystery aspect of Obi-Wan trying to find out where the clones came from. It's like 2.5 scenes, and it doesn't need to happen. You introduce this, like, oh, he's a detective now.
Yeah.
I would watch Obi-Wan the detective movie.
Yeah, like, what we're all touching on is we know exactly how the prequels happened, because Star Wars, the original trilogy, had so much potential and was so rich for, like, man, there are 100 things that you can explore, and George Lucas picked every single one of the worst one of those.
Right.
Like, he was so preoccupied in the prequels with, everyone's probably going to wonder where C-3PO came from, so I'm going to have to tie that in. And we're going to have to show the Wookiees at some point and talk about Trade Federation. Like, what's that kind of information? And the things that were important to him that, like, people are probably going to want to know.
Got
to
see Yoda shake hands with Chewbacca.
Yeah. And people are going to want to know what the stormtroopers are, where they came from, what they're cloned from.
Nah.
So I'm going to make an entire movie that largely deals with that. I understand you're a creator and you want to do world building. You want to show that you've thought of every aspect of this. But it's remarkable how you picked all of the worst things to focus on. You picked magic blood and clones.
Right.
I also think an important thing that keeps coming up is that you guys keep talking about going off center. The prequels dealt with only the most important stuff in the Star Wars universe. These are the important decisions being made. But the most important decisions being made in the human world is on C-SPAN. But we don't watch that because it's fucking boring. The most interesting thing about character in the first three, 4 through 6, is Han Solo, and he's just a random dude. He's a random smuggler, and that's what's interesting about him. He's not the most important person who's been born to this destiny. And I feel like that's what the prequels suffered from. There's a rumor that the 7th, 8th, and 9th are based on a script that Lucas wrote about the third generation of Skywalkers. Mark Hamill is, like, working out right now to, like, get back into shape so he can be old Luke Skywalker. And that really bums me out because I just want it to be, like, some far distant planet where some dude who, like, doesn't seem that important, is accused of a crime and finds out he's a Jedi and is on the run. Or he's a cab driver, like, in the Fifth Element.
Or
something,
like,
off-center.
Space pirates crash their ship on a planet and they're stuck there and a movie happens.
Yes, you know? Like, I think that's what's great about now having an infinite amount of time to work with is you don't feel the need to, we have to show off 8 planets in a thing. I would super love to see... Yeah, what you're talking about with a crash land on one planet and, like, a Heart of Darkness thing. Yeah. What if there's 4 light side Jedi stranded on a desert planet and eventually they run out of food and water? It doesn't matter how many force powers they have. There's no way off the planet. Do they end up turning on each other? Do they just sit quietly and die like good light force Jedi? Right. No, I think you could explore what does it mean to be light force. If you could tap into the dark side of the force and that would save you, would you do it? Would that corrupt you? What are the moral implications? You know what I mean? There's so much to do.
A lot of interesting things George Lucas wouldn't want to touch.
Such a big budget movie as Star Wars, it would be hard for anyone to say, we're going to set it all on one planet. Right. But making the story smaller, if they ever have the balls to do that, will be so refreshing. The first Star Wars episode that comes out that doesn't start with, galaxy-wide, there's this happening, that just starts with, like, there's this family, let's see what might happen to them. I'm going to be like, ooh, I wonder what will happen.
That'll happen eventually,
separate. They're going to do the next 3 movies like that, the next installment of this, whatever you call 9 movies.
Nanology?
But they're also going to be doing these side adventures, like one-offs that focus just on Boba Fett, for example. So maybe they could do that. And you saying Spike Lee made me want the thing that I've always wanted comics movies to be, or like a Batman movie to be. I think I've mentioned before, I want no one to own the rights to Batman and for Batman movies to come out all the time. And this year, Darren Aronofsky does one, and next year,
right,
Charlie Kaufman does one. I would like that for Star Wars just as much. You said Spike Lee, and in my head I heard Spike Jones.
Edgar
and I got
Wright,
really excited.
Or anyone.
Because I would like to see, here, you've got the entire Star Wars universe, Edgar Wright.
What's that movie that
what
you
want
to
do?
With
it?
Yeah.
So, like many people, Boba Fett is my favorite, or was my favorite as a kid for, like, cool factor character in the Star Wars universe. And I know there's plenty of extended canon stuff about him that I'm not familiar with, but I do think there's been very little effort to justify his existence. Everyone thinks he's the coolest basically because he has a great costume design and his powers are neat, but I would love to see a movie that gave him a reason for being. What drives him? Is there a lost love that he's always actually hunting for?
Did you not see the prequels? I know you did.
Yeah.
But that's not a reason.
I guess,
a more compelling one.
His father was killed, and then he held his dad's head in his hands after it was cut off.
I know that.
Like, bounty hunter.
I guess I was hoping that there could be something more... like when he was an old man already doing that job. I would love to see a story about Boba Fett from his youth that then makes us think of him as sympathetic when we watch the original 4, 5, and 6 episode again. Or not even sympathetic, but this is why he's so determined, or maybe Jabba has it over on him in some way. Like the way we're always talking about, prequels have the opportunity to sow more meaning into the originals.
It should be their
and
job.
And I think Boba Fett's the prime target for that, because he was like a large swath of kids' favorite character, but he's still pretty hollow, even with the prequel information. Like that Lion King 1.5 movie where they just said, here's all these scenes you know from Lion King, but it actually was more than you thought it was. I would love to do that with Boba Fett. Like, well, he was more important than you thought, had more emotions than you thought he did, he had more going on than you thought he did. This is his story of the original three movies.
Because they skipped over in the prequels, the stuff they showed was the very beginning of the story that you want to hear. Oh, his dad dies. What did he do then? If in the third movie they were like, well, then he does this.
And the end is,
the
he's a bitter sociopathic bounty hunter who just does jobs for Jabba. Well, let's see the process of that young boy bent on vengeance becoming a soulless bounty hunter who will take any price.
Right, they skipped over the fun part. They skipped over the war in the Star Wars.
I love him hanging out with Han Solo because they're both sort of always on the outside of the law. I mean, it's smuggler and bounty hunter. They clearly know each other, and Boba Fett really wants the job to track them down.
Right.
So there's some kind of history there that would be like young Han Solo, who will never be cooler than he is when he's young, and Boba Fett, when he's just hanging out with him, is my favorite sort of anti-buddy cop movie.
Yeah, and you want to see the moment that made them enemies for life now. Yeah.
I bet Han does something really shitty.
He smirks about it.
The last I heard about Episode 7... is that Abrams wants it to be Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, and Harrison Ford doing mostly be their movie with their kids in the background, and then episodes 8 and 9.
They do that, yeah.
The
they
kids.
Actually just announced that
like,
today.
I really want to have one more adventure with Luke, Han, and Leia, and goodness gracious, I don't want to see that.
It's like Wild Hogs, like, the Star Wars movie. Why are you doing this?
They're either going to realistically have Han aged into like just an old, normal guy who's got a family and kids and responsibilities and whatever his job is, or they're going to try to make 108-year-old Harrison Ford pretend that he's still a scruffy nerf herder. And I so passionately don't want to see that because it'll just make me upset if he's still, like, a young punk when he's...
It's almost like betraying the
fuck you,
story.
Son.
Yeah.
Because the whole point of his arc was that he ended differently than he began, and he's in love with Leia now. It's yet again, even with the sequels, revoking what we thought we were promised
in
the original
episodes.
Right, he turned into
a brave guy who does the right thing.
And once again, we have the three most important people in this universe at the center of the movie with all the weight that comes along with that. And like, what will the Trade Federation think about this next joke that I make? It's like, who gives a fuck, man? Just like set it on like some crazy ass planet.
And how preposterous is it that every major event galaxy-wide, it's always these three players are the most important players in that event. It's just like seems so crazy.
That's another thing that our memory plays tricks on us, that if you look back at the original trilogy, the three of them don't actually spend a hell of a lot of time together. Mm-hmm. In the first one they do, but remember we don't meet Luke for what ends up being a really long time. I just rewatched them recently.
They don't meet until like halfway through.
Yeah, I mean, the beginning, it starts with all those droid stuff, and we meet Leia before anything else, right?
Yeah.
I think in Empire Strikes Back, the three of them have
separated
one scene together.
End.
Yeah, they're
until
not
Cloud
they're
City.
They're not together, and then Jedi starts with Han not even being in the picture for the first...
And then it's one scene and they separate
minutes.
Again.
And then they separate, yeah. You like those characters, but really they're going on their own separate adventures the whole time.
My favorite one-off movie possible, like you were saying, they're going to do like one-offs that don't actually advance the overall story, would be once they have the technology to like shoot entire films that kind of fuse with other films, showing R2-D2's story from the start, how he was kind of pulling the strings behind all of the trilogies. What you were saying about Boba Fett, but like with R2-D2.
Almost
just
Forrest
like,
Gump, but
yeah,
with
almost,
R2-D2.
Yeah. Right, but like almost like a conspiracy where he, because he's the only character that's like common to all of them, and he doesn't have his
No, he remembers everything.
So he remembers everything, and he knows everything, and is secretly, I don't know.
So
I
think kind of causes
What if you even implied some Jedi of great wisdom or psychicness or foresight programmed him in some key ways? Like R2-D2 is somehow an emissary sent from the future or something that was always destined. He helped out. He's the reason everything worked out.
Well, man, I just super don't give a shit about R2-D2. It might be an interesting movie that you guys are talking about, but he was something when I watched the... I guess he's included because he's a familiar face that you can see and kids will buy more toys because he beeps and boops. When he showed up in the prequels, I was really pissed. I think specifically because of what you guys liked with him pulling the strings all the time. Like, I didn't need R2 winking at the audience this entire movie. Like, you know, I was the one who was really helping Anakin. And, you know, I've seen everything. I met C-3PO. Way back when. You know, I can fly and light, light fires.
You think R2-D2 sound like kind of a dick.
Well, if he was a character who talked, none of this would be acceptable, I don't think. That there was just this guy who was hanging around and, like, slowly pushing all the buttons.
That's why their wife Ender's Shadow, because he speaks English.
In the Ender's Game series, there's a tie-in book that follows Bean, this other guy. Mm. Ender's Shadow is his book, and it really destroys the character of Ender because you follow Ender's Game... Because he's this chosen one kid who's doing all this stuff, and he's all on his own, and he's the smartest and the best fighter and great leader, and he's just figuring it out. And then Ender's Shadow, you learn that Bean, oh, he's way smarter, and he's a dick, and figured everything out, mm-hmm. and is, like, quietly whispering to Ender what he should do. Not directly saying, you should do this now, but he's, like, supposed to be such a genius that he knows Ender needs to do this, and he needs to be the one to do it. If I say this combination of words, that'll trigger this in his memory, and he'll do it. And they go through that for every single good accomplishment that Ender has.
Made,
and it just destroys everything. And that's what they're doing with R2, where you've got the story about all these people who are rising to challenges. No, it's just R2 who's been pressing all these buttons and
the robot.
Hacking everything the whole time.
Although, speaking of Ender's Game... I do think it would be cool, because an absurdity to me is that this far in the future they have human pilots and all the planes. I would love to see, it would end up looking very much like an Ender's Game scene, but I still think it would be cool, a Force guy in a fugue using the Force controlling a fleet of thousands of drones, you know what I mean, against an opposing fleet of thousands of drones. I think that would definitely happen in Star Wars universe. There's no reason that's not happening. Like, it's weird that Wedge has to
risk his life. I want to see a Jedi move a planet.
Yeah, there you go.
I think that would be cool.
Or, I always wonder, I mean, I think in some of the video games they make it explicit that Jedis can get in a circle and, like, collect their force together. So what if you got a bunch of Jedi under your thrall, or if you got enough together, could dark side Jedi just start destroying planets with their mind because they're all sitting in a bunker together using the force?
And how come Jedi mind tricks don't work on Toydarians? That's sort of separate.
You just want to see the Toydarian story of how that
about, it's the I know that they did it for the plot. Which was
he can't
look,
get this
the
guy
reason Qui-Gon can't use Jedi mind tricks because of pod racing.
Yeah.
But it's such a throwaway, like, Qui-Gon Jinn says to Watto, the horribly offensive stereotype, you're like, I'm going to take the boy now, and he's going to be mine. Like, I'm a Toydarian, and your Jedi mind tricks don't work on me.
Yeah.
And they also don't work on Jabba the Hutt, and I want to know what the mechanics of...
It's if you're,
Jedi
like, gross stuff. And amphibious enough, you can't. Yeah.
Right,
and how did the Jedi education not tell him that? Yeah. Like, that, oh, yeah, no, it doesn't
Maybe he's like, oh, you. I didn't realize you're Toydarian. You look, you know, human to me. I don't see race. I'm very open-minded.
Because they do give you a list when you go to school. Yeah. Here's where this doesn't work.
And now that I really look at you, yes, you're a tiny flying bug monster.
I see it now. I do see it in, the eye area. I would really love to see... Just to throw out two quick log lines. Because the Clone War happens. Do they all get murdered at the end? Are all the clones eliminated? I want to see what happens when the war is over and you have a planet population worth of clones who are like, why was I brought into existence?
The
what do I do
just
now?
The stormtroopers. They stay stormtroopers forever.
Yeah. I would love to see something where either some guy is able to hack into their genetic code and alter them, or someone becomes a civil rights leader for them. I just feel like there's got to be some more to the clone's life. I know they're bred to accept just be a stormtrooper and you accept it, but I still think that in and of itself raises crazy moral questions. The Jedi Council should argue about, is it moral for us to have our army be clones that we brainwashed into fighting for us?
These are all, we've got millions of
when we can
Boba
build
Fett
droids.
Clones. They're Boba Fett clones.
Yeah. And we shouldn't they be better them. Shots in that case?
Right. And them being genetically identical makes them all just accept this fate.
Right.
Why wouldn't one of them be like, no, actually, I kind of am artsy. I want to paint.
Because nurture, too. And also, wouldn't they be susceptible then to, like, a disease attack because they're all genetically identical? I'm just saying there's interesting pathways down which
right,
you can take
you
the clone
those terms,
arms.
Yeah. Or even just see them on the front line, see the actual war. I don't know. There's very little foxhole war stuff
right.
in the prequels.
Seeing
that
two
I would
clones
like to have seen.
Being like, well, I'm going to die. Well, I am you. Well, what the f- this is all crazy, man. Like, the clones just grappling with their own existence.
One thing I'd like to see Abrams bring back that I kind of have faith that he will, I feel like in the original movies, and maybe this was just because I was a child and very simple things could blow my mind, but the idea of having a planet where there were two suns and mm-hmm. a forest planet and the winter planet with the snow battle, and we've written articles on the site about the stuff that we've been discovering in space for the past 10, 15 years so far outdoes everything that we've come up with in science fiction. There are planets where it goes from night to day 5 times an hour.
Have a battle
on
our
own solar system. There are moons that are amazing. They like shoot kilometers of vapor.
Like every planet they land on has the same amount of gravity. You know, what if they could jump really high on this planet because that's
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yeah, exactly.
Lightsabers.
Yeah, it would be fucking awesome.
Right. And just like a planet with more than one ecosystem.
Right.
Right, or a planet where you're constantly using the force to not be crushed by gravity, and if you're ever distracted, you get crushed immediately.
Right, because George, you must know that
our planet
has a whole bunch of different... I mean, I know you know.
Biomes.
You use each of them.
You picked what we all have on Earth, and you made one planet for each of them. A lava planet? That's
planet,
not possible. Yeah, I don't want to go into the next Star Wars movie and see, oh, here we are on the grass planet. Yeah.
Right.
And another desert planet, because they're running out.
There are planets that are like nothing but volcanoes that shoot lava into space, firing lava into space, and then lava's flying around.
There are planets that are only gas through and through, and you could never set foot. Like, you would be fighting in just a giant cloud the size of a planet.
So there's one that's a planet that's just a big diamond. And it's the size of Earth, but just a huge diamond with light refracting through it. And there's just this mass of water floating freely out in space that is a billion times the size of all of our oceans, but just like a pool of water.
It's
like
a drop of water that is in space
that
floating
is
around.
The size of fucking our solar system. You could have so much fun with that.
That's
like,
incredible.
Why don't the Gungans have a society inside that?
Right.
That would be so neat. I'd love to see the Departed Star Wars.
Don't say anymore.
By which I mean a light side Jedi is infiltrating a dark side Jedi enclave and vice versa. And they're constantly guarding their brain against other people telling what they are. Because I always thought it was so dumb how... Obviously, Darth Maul's dark side, because he's black and red and has devil horns. What if you had a dark side Jedi? What about a dark side Jedi that you can't tell? He looks like a nice guy, and he's infiltrating the Jedi Council. Yeah. And that kind of tenseness, where he goes home, and he gets a look from Yoda that day, and he's like, did Yoda read my mind and now know that I'm evil? Or was that just a disturbance in the Force I picked up from the burrito at lunch? You know what I mean?
I feel like that would be a really good Virginia Woolf novel. Everything's like internal monologue.
Constantly trying to not have your mind read.
Or like,
and you're an undercover
agent.
A really
cool thing to do in like a set of, let's say, prequels about like a dark
Star
Jedi.
Wars.
I don't know. I'm just throwing out words here.
Any other scenes that you guys would like to see? You were saying a Jedi controlling entire space fleets,
right.
Which seems like it should have happened by now.
I think the one that obviously should have happened that they had in the prequels was Yoda fighting. But it still hasn't been done. It still needs to happen. Where Yoda fights, A, someone important, and B, in a way that shows that what he said was true, that size matters not. Because the way he fought that we've seen was just that he jumps around and is acrobatic enough that I guess it didn't matter that he was short because he's going to be jumping so much. But I would rather see him do... clever things, or like the way that Professor Xavier, again to go back to X-Men, proves that you can be wheelchair bound and use your intelligence to foil any number of villains and your psychic abilities. Yoda should prove that you can be a tiny Muppet and have psychic abilities and foil anyone through any number of means, not just stabbing them with your sword.
I disagree. I hate Yoda.
Just his existence at all.
Well, here's what happens. Here's how Yoda happened, is that no one knew what they were doing when they made the first Star Wars movies, and they were like, this is a really funny voice, and it's a cute puppet that's going to sell a lot of toys, and like,
He's but that's you can't hold that against that's every race.
I know. He's just a clown. He's just like being goofy because kids will like that, and it's a movie for kids and babies. And then they just decide, oh, he's a really wise Jedi as a throwaway thing, and that he can train Luke because he's one of the last Jedis around. And then,
but that's how he's isn't he introduced as a wise and venerable Jedi?
I mean, he comes Jedi, but that's. I'm sure the puppet came first. There's not a single doubt in my mind. They're like, this is a funny puppet. What can we have him do? Ride Luke's back for a while. And then they realized they painted themselves into a corner when they were doing the prequels. And they're like, you know, we did say that he was one of the best Jedis around. So I guess we need to show that to the audience. No, you don't. I don't need to see that. And I'm never going to buy it because now I have to follow this green fucking puppet talking like an idiot and doing flips. That was not a fun scene for me. That made me
I agree, but that's because I don't want to see him doing flips and stuff. I want to see him... almost like the Godfellas episode of Futurama, manipulating events so that the war is averted and the last scene of the movie is us watching Yoda alone and like realizing, oh, he did that. He did that and that and that, and that's why it was always Yoda.
He actually is a good Jedi.
He's so wise saw the future and just did the subtlest things that needed to happen and proved that size doesn't matter because I can manipulate the universe's events just by saying the right words at the right time, or you know what I mean?
The problem with Yoda...
Dan's not on board.
The problem with Yoda, I think, is that he's a wise character written by George Lucas. And when you go back and parse any fucking thing that he says, it's so stupid. It's like, it doesn't actually hold up under scrutiny. And he immediately goes and does something that completely contradicts that statement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I would like to see in a Star Wars. A good Jedi? Like, one that is actually wise and, like... good warrior and like Liam Neeson was stupid.
You're stupid. I
like and, no, he was, I mean, but he
he's
took
pointless. And, right. I don't know. He didn't need to be there at all. I need an Obi-Wan to die.
We need someone to die in the first.
I need the Master to die.
I really felt
that's
like
how Star Wars happened.
So Dan, you were talking earlier about how there's good impulses, but they didn't go far enough because there wasn't time, and it ended up being shit. I think Qui-Gon was meant to be something I would love to see a full exploration of, which is a samurai. The Jedi obviously are supposed to be samurai in a lot of ways. They're these knights with a code that use swords, yet we've never seen a full arc play out that is like a samurai movie. And for all of his aspects, I think Qui-Gon was trying to be that, but the movie around him wasn't like a samurai movie, so it didn't really play. But I would love to see that Jedi that rolls into a planet where he is the only Jedi. You know, like Yojimbo in Star Wars, why not? I mean, the first one Lucas claims is based on Hidden Fortress or whatever, yet he still hasn't straight up done one that could be compared to a samurai movie in the classic sense, or a Western for that matter. Or like Western, people always talk about it as a space Western, but let's do the one that all out is a Western. They crash land on a planet that looks like a Western town. You know what I mean?
Right,
not that retarded, but like something Western-y happened.
Well, that would be really interesting because wouldn't the Western planet, if they had guns, aren't those weapons superior to lightsabers?
No.
No, I mean, blasters aren't superior to lightsabers.
Well, no, but blasters aren't because you block light with light or whatever.
Don't you think a lightsaber can block a lead bullet? You don't think so?
I'm sure it could.
It wouldn't
a Gatling
block it,
gun?
But it would destroy it.
You would destroy the bullet. But, oh, but Jag is saying, but a Gatling gun.
Yeah.
Or throwing just, us bullets at
right.
him. And then,
so yeah. The idea being that we have superior weapons here, you know, gunpowder or explosives, but we haven't mastered faster than light travel, but there would be a planet where, like, the people can kick your ass with their superior weaponry. They just can't fly anywhere, so you can...
Because they didn't focus on that, right, and they haven't figured it out. There, yeah. I feel like, or at least from playing Star Wars video games, can't you force push infinite bullets, like hold them at bay or something?
Yeah, I mean, I guess one of the things that I bought, even though no one tried to sell it to me, was they use lightsabers because they're the best weapon for everything.
The only thing they can't go through is that red force field at the end of Phantom Menace.
Sure.
That's the only thing that the lightsaber can't go through.
Which is, wait, why couldn't he cut a hole in the wall next to him and then the next wall and then walk past all the red?
Because Star Wars is secretly dumb.
You mentioning Western Town and me mentioning Toydarians earlier made me think of another Star Wars movie that I want to see. Not about Toydarians, but since we know that there are races that are not susceptible to the Force, that means their planet's full of those people. That's the first part that I need you to understand. The second part is the Jedi is like the controlling force in all of the galaxy, a peacekeeping thing. So at one point, two Jedi needed to go to some planet where these people don't know who they are and aren't swayed by their tricks and like hey guys, listen, I know you're a planet and you've operated independently forever. Here's how things are now. They have to go to these
right.
planets.
And you have to abide by these rules, and they'll go, why? Well, because I can use magic on you. It didn't work.
Someone coming to Earth.
And I don't know why.
it's two guys in robes coming to Earth and being like, you don't know us, but you need to do what we say and listen to, here are the new rules of
right. And if you go, why, they'll say, well, it's because we're a superior race to you in every way. We'll prove that. Well, we can't do anything per se.
Yeah.
But believe us.
And just the idea of you know, a sheriff coming to Deadwood, this town that already functions, and just trying to, like, I'm going to put law. We're fine. We don't need law. Go fuck your law. We got our own thing going on. I'd like to see that movie.
Yeah. Another thing that your Qui-Gon talk made me think of is, and again, I'm sure there are books about it, but, like, the prequels skipped over all the fun things. I guess Qui-Gon's dead, but, okay, Obi-Wan has taken on this boy to teach how to be a Jedi. Show me what that is like. This space wizard and his apprentice crash on a planet, and they have to save a town or do something, like, follow these two people for an entire movie and see that relationship grow.
Because we've never seen actual Jedi training yet. We've seen Obi-Wan doing, like, a really truncated version for Luke.
And we've
then
seen five-year-olds hold lightsabers.
Yeah, and we've
and
seen...
And Yoda do the cave
trial. Yoda do that thing, which was also clearly, like, look, we used to have a whole school set up for this, but we don't anymore.
So here's some rocks.
So give me your sausage and move those rocks. I'd really like to see what the formal school is, what, like, the academic equivalent to that Cave of Wonders where you have to fight your dad, who was you.
Right. Like, how do you face yourself at school? Yeah.
I don't want to watch this, but it would make money. The Harry Potter / Hunger Games of all this. You know, what is now the Jedis are back and they're going to start churning out more Jedis. You have to be high schoolers in Jedi school
A Jedi Academy.
Like, you have adventures at some sort of...
But I don't know who would be ballsy enough to make such a groundbreaking series.
I think what's
though,
tough about it is that I'm trying to figure out, is it more for adults or teens or kids? It sounds like everyone would enjoy it. Like, you could watch it with your whole family. Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited about the idea, though. It's like, I want to watch it right now. That's what's so troubling
about
all...
It's so funny that you say that.
Why?
Because that is the exact premise of the series that you made about a month ago with Cody and Daniel.
You hear that, Cody?
That can be why.
my series, Michael Swam, created by...
That you were involved with making. That's sort of the premise. But it's not Star Wars.
I bet I can't afford it.
It sounds expensive. Obviously, the movie I want to see doesn't have jokes in it, so don't watch today's video. But no, I mean, there's so many options that you can have in that world. Anything other than what they've done so far, I guess, is my point.
I forgot that we saw a bunch of babies with lightsabers. The Padawanlings?
Younglings.
Younglings. Oh, my fucking Christ.
Had to make up a word for kids.
Well, it's because one of the actual kids in the movie is named Kidster, you'll recall. Anakin's friend is Kidster.
Yeah, Kid Fister.
He's like, well, I already used Kidster.
So, as we're going out here, I'm a little worried about episodes 7 through 9 because I feel like J.J. Abrams made his Star Wars movies as Star Trek. He just took some of the cool stuff from Star Wars and applied it to the Star Trek. And I worry that these movies are going to be like J.J. Abrams Star Trek movies, but with lightsabers. Are there directors that you guys are excited to see make a Star Wars movie? Or are you excited to see J.J. Abrams Star Wars movie?
Edgar Wright, since Michael said it. Now I can't stop thinking about Edgar Wright making a Star Wars, because he would make the best Star Wars movie that will ever be.
You mentioned Darren Aronofsky, which I would like to see. I'd really like to see Guillermo del Toro do one.
Yeah. I really wish that Steven Spielberg directed one of the prequels. He's the most transparent director. Star Wars can be very straightforward and great, and he would be really good at doing that with the right script.
I agree.
I say that forgetting that I saw Indy 4.
John
Favreau? I don't know how he can do that.
Yeah, Kenneth Branagh.
You know, the Whedons.
Whedon.
I'd see Whedon's thing.
Mm-hmm. If we're doing all these offshoot ones, I want to get weird people like...
Lynch.
Terry Gilliam. I want Tom Hooper doing a Star Wars. Pick a character or a thing that you want to focus on.
Yeah.
The Star Wars version of the John Adams miniseries.
Yeah, that would be great. I would watch that.
I'm just combining things that I like with Star Wars. Yeah.
Historical political dramas in space with swords made of light.
Yeah, I wonder if the cool thing will be to get one of the one-off offshoot ones. They'll give the trilogies actually advancing the story to, like, Abrams and sort of mainstream big-budget blockbuster directors, but then they'll kind of let Aronofsky... I think Spike Jonze would probably be my favorite person to just give a Star Wars, one-off.
And I wonder... They'll probably do what Marvel is doing, where they make really surprising choices on, like, newer directors. You know, they're having the Russo brothers who've only done Arrested Development and Community do the second Captain America. And yeah. Kenneth Branagh was a strange choice. Jon Favreau was a strange... Now he only does these big action movies.
I wonder how long they're going to even keep going with the main plot of Star Wars. It's done. The new trilogy doesn't interest me because I know what happens. There's the evil and the good guys win.
Yeah, we got rid of the evil. So either that was...
Right, there's
you create a new evil and then it was meaningless... Or it's just peace for three movies.
Right. The story of Star Wars is so simple and so old as a story that, like, continuing it seems totally pointless. Accept Star Wars for what it is, which is a very expansive universe, and tell tiny stories that have nothing
just
to do with it.
Yeah. No one else is allowed to have lightsabers or Jedi in their movie, and we're all upset about it. You can. You can
right.
do that.
Make all the movies with lightsabers and Jedi.
Terrence Malick, just long lingering shots of a lightsaber handle.
No one knows
rolling.
What happens.
Yeah.
You leave, he's like, don't you understand? It was about fathers and sons. Okay, sure.
I feel like the Coen brothers would make a bad Star Wars movie.
No, I was, because of course when you say, what directors would you immediately think, well, what are my favorite directors? And the first thing I thought was, Coen brothers should never
they
be anywhere
a
near a Star Wars movie. It would be awful.
What other people would make bad Star Wars movies?
Spike Lee's would be terrible.
Spike Lee would be bad.
Spike Lee's would not be that good.
No. Hitchcock.
Although the guy who made the original Old Boy, I bet... Would
sure.
Make pretty good.
Yeah. I have some issues with Ridley Scott as time goes on, but I would love to see a Star Wars movie akin to Alien, a horror movie in space
yeah.
with the Star
yeah.
Wars elements.
Tarantino would make a terrible Star Wars movie.
Yeah. Oh, it would just be so, it would be only winks, and you just. Wes
yeah,
Anderson
no
Star Wars?
No.
Wes Anderson Star Wars would be weird and terrible, yeah.
You brought up Ridley Scott. It just reminded me that when I was talking about like all the cool planets that you could have fun with, it reminded me of the closing monologue of Blade Runner. Like, I've seen, I don't know the closing monologue of Blade Runner, but you know the one where the replicant is talking about all the amazing shit he's seen on different planets. And first of all, Ridley Scott would be awesome, but also sort of a Blade Runner droidish Star Wars is something that we've kind of talked around because Cody has this amazing, intricate theory about droids in the Star Wars universe, but that's going to be explored on an upcoming episode of After Hours that you should look out for. It's going to be great.
God, a droid main character with inner monologue that we become really attached to and love would be so cool.
So what Prometheus didn't do that should have done.
All the nerd cred is coming right out. You should read the Bounty Hunter Chronicles extended universe Star Wars.
Sure.
IG-88 is the robot bounty hunter. His piece in that book is
he's
really
a likable character.
Well, it's just interesting. It starts with him like waking up being a robot who realizes that it's alive and
it's
in like a
this.
Millisecond going through what ended up being like the first several hundred years of human philosophy where he gets through Descartes but arrives on it.
Yeah.
His own route. That whole book is interesting. And that one scene where they're like, here are all the best bounty hunters in the galaxy. There's Bosk. There's Boba Fett.
Yeah.
There's guy with diaper on his head. There's Dengar. Robot.
Zuckus.
They pick each one of those and is like, what are they like? Let's give them some interesting
stuff. I think I did read that when I was 12 or something. Or like it rings
good.
A bell. Yeah.
I mean, that's the only reason you should know Dengar's name.
Yeah.
Unless you saw him in the movie and you were like, who was that phenomenal actor?
The kind of observation that Cody's After Hours unravels from is just that the droids, C-3PO, clearly has human emotions. He clearly can feel anxiety.
And
they
pain.
Open that. Yeah, they open the door for that, but they're also very much...
Why pain. Wouldn't Terminator 2 also happen in the Star Wars universe? Why wouldn't the robots, some of them, rise up
they
or something?
Programmed robots to scream and feel pain.
Right, when they get shot, they go, why?
More than the human stormtroopers do.
Right.
The pain is felt even harder on
you might get one Wilhelm scream from a stormtrooper.
Right.
Yeah.
Who decided make the clones perfect warriors that don't fear death? Make the droids really scared to die. In fact, make them scared of social interaction.
And then once it happens,
make them uptight.
Make it painful.
Right, they torture the droid in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
The Jawas,
really,
as you're
really
walking through the Jawa tank, you or through the Jawas, you know, rolling treadmill, the thing that they have, you see a droid in the background being slowly pulled apart to, like, encourage it to, you know, to agree to whatever they want. That's insane.
I want...
It's compelling to a droid to be tortured and dismantled.
I absolutely need to see a movie that explains why the Jawas hate droids so much. It's one of my favorite little things in that they're just zapping droids.
They don't need to. They're not hurting them.
It's like if the Smurfs rounded up squirrels and just stabbed them. Like, they just hate them.
cool with all other like little field animals, but fuck squirrels.
Yeah.
All right, that's been podcast.
Cool.
That's Tig Notaro's line, I swear.
Hey!
Yeah, hope you enjoyed that. Right up front, probably say that we all believe the prequels, episode 1 through 3, to be squandered horseshit. That is the premise from which that conversation sort of begins. If you think the prequels are just as good as Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back because you're 5 or something, yeah, I don't know what to tell you. You probably spent that episode just furious with us. But yeah, that's going to happen. We might as well be from different planets, you and I. And your planet is kind of racist, so there. No, but I'm sure that we only think the prequels are total horseshit because we were adults and the magic had worn off. Although, if you look at the IMDb top 250, episode 4 and episode 5, so Star Wars, A New Hope, and Empire Strikes Back are both in the top 20, and the prequels are nowhere to be found. So I think it's somewhat objective. The prequels sucked, right? We can all agree on that. All right, footnotes. We started off with a verse from Andre 3000 in the Underground Kings song International Players Anthem, parentheses, I Choose You. Just a classic track from the 2000s, one of my favorite samples ever used in a hip-hop track. You should go buy it on iTunes because it's a great song. I've found that even non-hip-hop fans will love it if you're a hip-hop fan and want to play something in your car while you're driving around with people who don't like hip-hop. That's a good choice. I played it because I'm excited that Outkast is reuniting at Coachella. Going to go to that festival for the first time in my life. Something I was doing kind of almost begrudgingly, and then out of the blue, my favorite rap group ever is reuniting there. So yay for me, and yay for everyone, because I think they immediately after that just announced that they're touring everywhere. But it's great. I'm glad they're just hanging out again. And we are closing out with the song World War II Part 2 by Wax Fang, which is, I've been told, a psychedelic southern rock group. But they're a group from Louisville, Kentucky. I've seen live once or twice, and they're really good. And they always make, or at least they've made, one really cool, comprehensive concept album that this song is from. That album is called La La Land, or La La Land, if it's supposed to be a scared boat captain. I don't know how they intended that to be pronounced. I hope the second one, because La La Land is not my favorite title for an album. But anyways, they're really great. I really like that song, World War II Part 2, and I had mostly forgotten about it. And then I guess they have a new big concept album coming out that's getting a lot of attention, so is probably pretty good, called Astronaut, that is supposedly like a concept album inspired by 2001 Space Odyssey. And Star Wars, make your 2001 Space Odyssey. A lot of their music feels like it has space howling in the background. That's something that I should have mentioned when I was talking about all the cool shit we found in space that's cooler than any sci-fi movie. Space howls at you. That's something that Brockway put in an article. The planets all have their own haunting moans that they make constantly. And also, I picked that song because sequel thing in the title, and we were talking about sequels within sequels. So we're going to ride out to Wax Fang, World War II, Part 2. Go buy the song. Go watch our Star Wars parody series about Jedi school. It's funny and really cool looking, actually. We have really talented filmmakers working for us. And I will talk to you guys next week about something else. Bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio, boom.com. Oh, oh, oh. The wolf dead.